So the bodhicitta that we have generated today is needs to be actually increased or enhanced day by day by way of saying some kind of words of inspiration to inspire yourself. So that is by saying the words reflecting on the benefits of bodhicitta three times a day, three times a night. So with the usage of the wordings, it doesn't make much difference. You can use any kind of words. So the wording would it would be easy to use that word composed by Atisha. And the most important thing is, so, and the most important of the practice as someone who has already generated bodhicitta is training in not mentally abandoning any sentient being for whose welfare the mind has been degenerated. So, however harsh, however cruel that the person may be, you are not supposed to abandon that person. And then also, we are to train ourselves in accumulating the collections of merit and wisdom, the wisdom of emptiness, wisdom of any other kind. So, for someone who is actually training in the deity yoga, so without reflecting on the concept of emptiness, so there's no way by which you can engage in this practice well. As such, the practice of emptiness is something that comes every now and then in those persons who are engaged in the practice of the deity yoga. So the four trainings, to just repeat it, so they are training in remembering the advantages. So training the course that assures the mind generation will not degenerate during this life. First, training in remembering the advantages or the benefits of bodhicitta so that the strength of one's delight in the mind generating increases. Second, training in generating it six times so that the actual mind generation increases. Three times in day, three times in the night. Next, training in not mentally abandoning any sentient being for whose welfare the mind has been generated. Fourth, training in accumulating the collections of merit and wisdom. Next, training in the course of not separating from the aspiring mind in other lives. Training in abandoning the four black dharmas that cause it to degenerate. It is further comprised of four sections. Four black dharmas? Deceiving one's abbot, master, guru, or those worthy of offerings. And second, causing others to regret the virtuous deeds that they do not regret. And third, saying something infamous about a person who has entered the great vehicle. Fourth, actions committed with the intention to deceive or dissimulate, but without the extraordinary attitude. So in short, the advice would include not to tell a lie to someone. So normally, we consider someone who can lie as someone who is very effective or someone who is a very able person, but this is wrong. So say, there's a hunter who is chasing a wild animal, like deer or so forth. And then you saw the deer going to some direction. And when the hunter comes and asks as to where the deer went, and if you tell the truth, then the hunter is going to harm the animal. So what to do then? So here, actually, you may speak something like as if like the intoxicated person would say. So in short, it would be something that probably you can say, oh, I haven't seen that. It should be all right. Because the intention is something very virtuous to protect the life of the animal and to protect the hunter from causing negative action. So it is because of this that there are times where the bodhisattvas, they are granted to engage in some negative actions in terms of the physical and the verbal aspects. So if you refrain yourself from lying at all, so then naturally it will stop you from deceiving one's abbot, master, guru, or those votive offerings. And if you remain such altruistic person and always remain something as an honest person, so naturally there will be a kind of attitude to the third, to the fourth, or black dharma, that is action committed with the intention to deceive or dissimulate, but without the extraordinary attitude. And then next, saying praises towards the Buddhas and the Bodhisattvas. And next, ripening sentient beings. The white dharma, the fourth white dharma is ripening sentient beings. So here, that is letting the sentient beings be actually joyous, or they be aspired of generating bodhicitta. In other words, you, through your kind of skillful means, leading the other beings generate bodhicitta, or lead them into the entrance of the Mahayana, Mahayana goal. So, let me read through the five white dharmas. Adopting the four white dharmas that do not allow it to degenerate. First, abandoning lying knowingly. Second, abiding with extraordinary attitude without deceit or dissimulation. Third, generating the discrimination that bodhisattvas are like the Buddha and praising them. And fourth, ripening sentient beings, leading the sentient beings to the entrance of the Mahayana vehicle. Furthermore, in arraying the Buddha field of Manjushri, it is taught that the aspiring mind is not abandoned if four qualities are possessed: having abandoned pride, having abandoned jealousy, having abandoned miserliness, and being mentally joyful when seeing others' wealth. So, is it available, the arraying the Buddha field of Manjushri Sutra in Chinese? So next, what about the stacking of the Jewel Sutra in Chinese? So there is something very beautifully stated here in the Jewel Cloud Sutra. If you train in the mind of enlightenment in all behaviors and generate the mind of enlightenment before starting any virtuous activity, you will not be separated from this precious mind. If you do not investigate time, how? This, in short, says that whatever actions that you may engage in, make sure that that is somehow incorporated or complemented by the mind of enlightenment, bodhicitta. For someone who has already actually held the mind of enlightenment at the aspirational level, for that person, if he no sooner he generates such kind of thought that, oh, so now I cannot actually work for the welfare of all beings, then there you actually relinquish the bodhicitta. So if you think that, oh, I cannot actually do the welfare of this specific person, again you are actually relinquishing or giving up the aspiring mind of enlightenment. And also, if you transgress the bodhisattva vow, the aspirational bodhicitta vow, by telling lies and so forth, so you really need to confess that by way of the four powers. So his Holiness just wondering, it seems like there's a printing mistake in His Holiness's text. So the means of restoring the vow if it is degenerated. If you transgress the trainings, excluding the two of giving up the aspiring mind and mentally giving up sentient beings, as long as you do not have the bodhisattva vows, there is no downfall from the point of view of a bodhisattva. However, since it does transgress the trainings of the promise of intermediate virtue, it becomes faulty conduct and therefore should be confessed by means of the four powers. Next, explanation of how to train in conduct having generated the mind of enlightenment. The reason it is necessary to train in trainings having generated the mind of enlightenment. So it is not just sufficient in fulfilling your desire by simply desiring to achieve enlightenment. But in order to fulfill the desire, you should engage in those activities to purify the two kinds of obscurations. So, without engaging in the action of the bodhisattvas, there is no way by which you can fulfill enlightenment. So that is, on top of actually generating the mind of enlightenment, you should engage in the actions of bodhisattvas. Then you may wonder as to what kind of method one should engage in to achieve Buddhahood. So this state of Buddhahood is actually achieved by the course of great compassion, and then also in association with the two kinds of the bodhicittas, the actual bodhicitta and the wisdom of emptiness. And the kind of the method we should incorporate these practices would be the practice of bodhicitta, would be the practice of generosity, ethical discipline, and so forth. Although having generated the mind of enlightenment, you do not train in the trainings of generosity and so forth, it will still be of great benefit as expressed in the above quotation from the biography of Maitreya. However, if you do not make the bodhisattva trainings your essential practice, it will be impossible to become a Buddha. Therefore, you should train in the conduct. In the King of Concentration, it says, one should make it the essential practice. Why? Because, O youthful one, for one who makes it his essential practice, it will not be difficult to obtain unsurpassed, perfectly complete enlightenment. Also, Kamala Shiva says in the first stages of meditation, a bodhisattva who has generated the mind, understanding that he cannot tame others without taming himself, totally applies himself to the practice of generosity and so forth. Without them, he cannot achieve enlightenment. So Nagarjuna, in his text on the 60 stanzas of reasoning, he said that the wisdom of emptiness is something required not only just for achieving Buddhahood, but also for even liberation. And it is also said the prayer that through the power of the two kinds of the accumulations, the accumulation of merit and the wisdom, may I achieve the state of the Buddhahood, which is endowed with the two bodies, perfect bodies. So these two states of the endowments of the Buddha needs to be obtained or achieved through the two kinds of the accumulations, the accumulation of merit and the accumulation of wisdom. So what are these two accumulations, the accumulation of wisdom and the method? So here the Chandrakirti, in a supplement to the Middle Way, he said that so those are graded, or the graded meditations in relation to the conventional reality, those graded meditations in relation to the ultimate reality, by way of complementing these two, and then traversing through the various stages, one can then eventually reach the state of full enlightenment. So that is what Chandrakirti mentioned in his supplement to the Middle Way. And the analogy Chandrakirti gave is that just as a geese should fly with two wings intact, so for the bodhisattva to traverse to the state of enlightenment, he should use the two wings. That is the merit in merit in association with the conventional reality, and the accumulation in association with the ultimate reality. So here, now Lama Tsongkhapa is rejecting the intention of the Chinese Harshan master. So those of the Chinese monks and nuns here. So if there are someone who holds the view of the master Harshan, so they are going to be rejected here. So because the Lama Tsongkhapa rejected this idea, so I'm also going to do that here. So here, Lama Tsongkhapa said that the Chinese Harshan master, and etc. So within this, etc. actually refers to those opinions which are being held by some of the Tibetan masters, which correlate very, very much with the opinion of the master Harshan.